Everybody, Thursday, 4th of November, and another okay day today. The central bank's doing rather a good job this week. We've had the RBA completely deflate the concerns in the Australian bond market this week. And overnight, the Fed have done the same thing, effectively. They have tapered without a tantrum, as I've written it up today. Some of the Fed lines, headlines to you, Fed lines today. It is time to taper. It is not time to raise rates. And that's the main message. They have tapered. They've cut back on bond purchases by $10 billion a month, or they will do this month. And another $10 billion next month, so they'll be down from $80 billion a month to $60 billion a month. And on mortgage-backed securities, they're going to cut it back by $5 billion this month, $5 billion next month, so they're down to $30 billion a month by mid-December. And on the back of that, the US 2-year bond yield picked up slightly, so did the US 10-year bond yield, but the bond market was very relaxed. The Fed have finally managed to pass the tapering message without significant financial market damage. In fact, without any financial market damage. I don't know whether you've spotted that, but the US indices did something they haven't done since 2018, which is hit a record high altogether for the second day on the trot. That's the Dow Jones, S&P 500, NASDAQ 100, and Russell 2000, all close to all-time highs. Bottom line, they have tapered, as I say, without a tantrum, and on the back of that, one of the major market risks, which is the tapering announcement. Over the last year, we have been, or every commentator and strategist has been, poring over every adjective to try and discern the timing of tapering, and we now have the answer, and the stock market and the bond market have taken it pretty much in their stride. So one of the major market risks, this tapering announcement, has now disappeared without incident so far. Small rise in yields overnight, but equity markets record highs. There's loads of other headlines in the Marcus Today section on the Fed. They continue to say that whilst inflation is elevated, it is largely transitory. They are not going to be raising rates yet. They can afford to be patient on interest rates. The economy is making substantial progress, still significant ground to cover on employment gains. They say the tapering decision does not imply any direct signal about interest rates. They talk a lot about inflation being unpredictable, supply constraints, bottlenecks. They're expecting it to move down by the second or third quarter of next year, but they're prepared to adjust monetary policy as appropriate if inflation moves persistently beyond the target. So they've kept the Fed funds rate at 0 to 0.25% and looks like they will do so until well into next year. Tapering, by the way, will cease in the middle of next year. And there are a few questions about nominations for the next Fed president, next Fed governor, and they made no comment. I believe the nominations are going to be announced shortly, and if Powell gets in, it'll be seen as positive because a new person would inject some uncertainty. The markets like certainty. So that was the Fed. So two decent doses of Fed news this week have done what the central bank's core purpose appears to be at the moment, which is stop the financial markets getting fearful. They've certainly done that. Right. Lots of little bullet point things today. Bank of England policy meeting tonight. We've got trade numbers out today. Retail sales numbers out today. On the diary, Westpac is ex-dividend tomorrow. Westpac, of course, is down 10.8% in the last week since the results. Most of the brokers after the share price fall think it's undervalued. It might well be suitable for some of you who are interested in income to buy it today just for the dividend after the recent correction. Bit short term, but does go ex-dividend tomorrow. Also from the banks, ANZ goes ex-dividend on Monday. Macquarie goes ex-dividend on Monday. NAB has results on Tuesday, goes ex-dividend November the 15th. So dividends coming up. Other things, most of the major leaders have left COP26. That might drift into the background now. Anyone holding Afterpay, which follows the Square Inc. share price around, they're voting on that merger in court today. It will go through. and the deal's expected to be done in the first quarter of next year. Uranium stock Paladin is up 12% today, confirming the Langer-Heinrich restart plan. It's going to cost $81 million, but progress for Paladin, which peaked out in the middle of September at $1.12, is currently 94 cents. Of course, it was 41 cents back in August, so it's more than doubled since then. Not sure I'd be chasing it. Quality investors wouldn't chase it. It is a bit of a sentiment thing at the moment. COP26 will end as well, taking the hot future commodities out of the limelight at the end of next week. Anyway, probably worth getting hold of some Paladin research if you can and just seeing what the prospects are. At the moment, it just doesn't stack up on any numbers, of course. It would not make Mr. Buffett's portfolio. Other events, CSR up 3% on interim results today. Talked about a healthy outlook on the back of bumper new housing commencements supported by the government home builder stimulus. That share price is pretty much at all-time highs. Suncorp down 1.6% after quantifying costs of claims from the recent wind events in Victoria. That share price is firmly on the nose since it got windy, putting a bit of certainty around the costs involved in that event might just help. No sign of it bottoming yet. PE 15, not expensive, 5.8% yield, one for the income fund, although, again, not a stock. Insurance is not a sector that anyone would consider to be quality. Too accident prone. As you'll see, probably in Henry's take, 4DS. They had a binary announcement about the effectiveness of their wafer chips. Didn't go their way, down 41% today. Zip Z1P had their AGM today. Impressive numbers, although I have to say the slide they had on their mission and their purpose and their promise had me cringing. We'll have any parent that's ever had to pay off their child's Afterpay or Zip Money account because they've spent more than they earn would have had you cringing as well. Their purpose, to create a world where people can live fearlessly today, knowing they are in control of tomorrow. Our promise, a more financially fearless world. Sorry, but I don't want my children being financially fearless because I'm picking up the goddamn bill every time they spend more than they earn. It would be better if they were fearful. If your purpose was to create a world where people can live more fearfully, more financially fearfully, then I'd be right behind you. But for effectively a company that encourages people to spend money they don't have, I think being financially fearless or having a promise of a more financially fearless world is rather self-serving. But there you go, me just having a rant. I've got some charts of the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ in the Marcus Today section today. As you'll see, big uptrend, record highs. Both are overbought, not just on a daily, but a weekly basis. The mean reversion, weak human brain that we all possess is telling us that it can't keep going up like this. But of course, until it starts going down, let's not worry about it. Domino's Pizza dropped 17% today, had their AGM yesterday. I can see some research around, particularly from Credit Suisse, with a target price that this morning was 45% below the current share price. Wondering if there's another story, because the rather fundamental reasons being put out on the newswires for why Domino's is down 17% don't seem to wash. But there was a sudden reversal of sales in Japan in October as they come out of lockdown. And the suggestion is that they really are a pandemic beneficiary that have seen their best days. And you might see the same experience in other countries as people come out of lockdown, that you see a big slowdown in sales from Domino's. Macquarie talks about multiple headwinds, including energy price inflation, labor shortages, rising food costs, la-di-da-di-da. Henry's suspicious that maybe someone shorted the thing. Most of the brokers like it except for Credit Suisse. A lot of neutral recommendations, has to be said, but Domino's coming off the top. I've also written a paragraph on AMP. They've got an investor day coming up. They sold their life insurance business, what remains of it, yesterday. That was very well received. The share price popped 9%. But there is a suggestion that there is an investor day coming up on November the 30th. And the CEO might decide to do some further deck clearing, rebasing, as Macquarie calls it. So probably don't want to take the risk ahead of that. But the barking dog barked yesterday. Not really barking today. More tucked in its basket having a nap. And I've written up today Eclipse Group. Eclipse, of course, is an Australian fleet leasing, fleet management, novated leasing, vehicle sales, and motor vehicle finance company. They had results yesterday which were significantly better than expected. And this morning, Macquarie have upgraded by 28%, 14%, and 15% for the next 3 years. They did much better in end of lease profits, which were up 107%, which looks like, of course, it's been bailed out by higher car prices, which of course would bump their end of lease profits up significantly if car prices went up, which they have. On the back of that, you've got an outperform recommendation from Morgan Stanley, Credit Suisse, and Macquarie. They've also increased their share buyback from 40 million to 56 million. The chart is fabulous. No yield, return on equity 16%. Brokers have target prices marginally above the current share price. But this is an industry that again has been a pandemic beneficiary, and there is a very strong order pipeline. People want cars, they haven't been able to get them. And they've got new customers. And as the new vehicle supply chain normalizes, growth is expected to return. And this is for a stock that's on a PE of 22 times this year, but only 11 times in 2022. Looks cheap. Might be worthy of your attention. Car leasing sector. When I did a Masters of Applied Finance, we all came out of that. We dissected a lend-lease car lease. And most of finance is about the interest rate, the hidden interest rate. Any product you have, anything that's financially engineered, it's all about how much interest you're effectively charging people. And the more complex the product, the higher the rate you can get away with. And car leasing was one of those industries that had one of the best implied returns for the issuer, because people just wanted their shiny car. They just kept saying yes. I'll pay that, just deliver my car. And in so doing, tied themselves in for years worth of highly inflated debt costs. And I would never lease a car having dissected one of those contracts, because you save yourself a fortune by going to the bank if they'll lend it to you and getting a personal loan compared to a car leasing deal. It's a fabulous business. Anyway, Eclipse is your Australian stock. Growing like mad at the moment. Chart looks good and it isn't expensive on next year's numbers. Right, that's about that. Very humdrum, normal day today. All our bond market concerns have been swept away in the last week. US markets overbought, but they don't care. Until they do, we can all relax. As I leave you, Dow futures pretty much unchanged, down 2.5 points. Our market was up 27, up 17, adding to the 68-point rise yesterday. Domino's down 13.7% now. Ah, might mention Vulcan Energy Resources, which was the subject of that shorting report this week, had a collapse up for the last 2 days, popped up on the scans as a trading buy. Pay your money, take your choice. Energy down today, the oil price fell over, OPEC being asked to produce more. Coal stocks going up today. Archer Materials, Henry's favourite one-stock portfolio stock, up 6.6% today. They had an announcement today with the title Early Stage Assembly of Biochip Components. Seems to have gone down well. I'm looking forward to launching the new Marcus section next week. I'll introduce the portfolios on Saturday. That's about that. You have a fabulous day and I will speak to you soon.